It's the AO show. It's the AO, AO show. It's the AO show. It's the AO show. This is just my AO flow. It's the AO show. It's the AO show. And this is just my AO flow.
I'm
gonna turn
the phone when it's not.
I come on. It's lit, baby.
Who gonna say hey? I don't know who's saying.
What's up, world? We out here. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome to the AO show.
With your boy, man. Z, the kid, the host with the most butt on the toast. Webbing that third toast, man.
Running by that guy so fly, you can't deny your baby mama want to try.
Hey!
I'm the host with the most.
Anyway, buzzing. We're back for season three.
Not the buzzkill.
Three's company.
Praise up, man.
I'm here with the original AO host.
My shit look cookie.
Ronnie,
my. Oh my god. It's popping. Don't mind me. I'll do coke, but my nose is running. So I'll just let that know.
Everybody's sick in this jungle today.
We gonna do it, man. I'm here with Ronnie, my, the original host.
What's popping?
Luckily they got tissue in there.
And the new host.
Yeah, man, you know, I stood in for my man's Ronnie, though. You know, keep a rock. Boy, your nose loud like shit, boy. So everybody ain't as sick, so I'm gonna be sick tomorrow.
Big ass bazooka on my face.
Okay. So we have a few topics. Some serious, some not so serious.
Mm-hmm. Which y'all wanna do first?
The first topic, we're gonna do all of that take us. First topic is 4-5, because I ain't calling him my president.
Trumpito?
Yeah, my president. Like,
man, look. I can't even say shout out to President Trump.
Shout out to Asia Orange.
So basically, the debate on different social media is, somebody say it's a hell of a drug. Shut up, Jason. The debate on social media is, why is he always coming at prominent black people and they're like white people doing worse or the same, and he doesn't really tell them nothing.
It's honest.
So, for example, there's currently LeVar Ball. Yep. And then Marshawn Lynch, of course, Kaepernick.
Of course.
Then there's, on the white side, there's Eminem.
Coach Popovich from the Spurs. Always chiming
Coach
in.
Coach Pop with the real.
Pop, my dog. You can come to the cookout, bro.
He been there.
Been there. And Steve Kerr, too. Come on, everybody got clear that though.
I mean, LeVar Ball, he's a special case.
Hey, LeVar.
Because, you know, like, okay, this is how I feel about LeVar.
LeVar the sickest, dog.
LeVar did just what white folks do all the time.
Bam.
They get that that favor.
Bam.
And they act like they don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? You did what? Right. So he like, what you talking about? You ain't do shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, now, whether or not LeVar asked for him to do it or he just did it, but I feel like how my coworkers feel. He ain't do that shit for LeVar. He got something out of the deal.
I read an article that was talking about he actually didn't have anything to do with that.
At all.
That was something to do to spend. To just make look favorable, and you know, he's a troll.
Legally, it wasn't like he vetoed,
because anytime a president veto and get involved in international affairs, there's always a paper trail.
There's no paper trail of an executive order to get these boys not to be in jail.
Because first of all, there was no diplomatic immunity involved, no diplomats involved, and the fact that the boys wasn't ever going to jail because it was the Chinese people, I guess, or whatever, they decided it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right,
and,
just let them go.
You know,
they got lucky. They didn't get lucky.
And then they didn't want to. Then they didn't want to insult like a riot, especially how I guess our relations is with America as a country.
Right.
With China, they didn't want to egg anything on. So you know what? It's cool. Y'all go back about y'all business. We're gonna drop it. And you know, took. I did that. I did. You know what? The nigga, I hate the niggas that do some shit.
He is that dude.
And then won't
pop. He is that
dude. Bitch, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, what you doing?
He is that dude.
Like,
he is that dude.
He like the cat that's trying to rip on.
Hey,
like, you're supposed to do that.
That's the nigga that don't bring shit to the cookout with paper plates and won't be ripped out.
Like,
bitch,
man.
Y'all would be eating if it wasn't for me. Y'all ain't got shit to eat on.
Yeah.
Shit in our hands.
Right. How? So I just, I do, now, as far as, like, him coming at Marshawn Lynch was just stupid, because, like, Marshawn Lynch don't care.
He don't care.
He has stated why he's back playing football, so I promise you, he don't care.
Let me go lie, because everybody lies.
But, yo, but Pete, man, my whole thing on that is, I think he's trying to come at everybody that has a potential platform.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're trying to discredit them. Because that's all they've been doing anyway. Or trying. Like, trying to discredit.
I'm telling you, he ain't came. He hasn't tried to come at LeBron yet, neither, though. Because he know
he's definitely. Empire. Yeah, you're right. So, it's all the black problem people except Bron.
I mean, see, the thing about
Latin, I mean, he's picking his battles. And yeah, I think that.
He's picking
on. I really honestly think that if Marshawn would have clapped back, he would have.
Oh, man.
It's just the fact. Like, you know, if Marshawn would have played back and then Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn got the youth, man.
Yeah, he would have just been like, okay, no.
I mean,
I'm going to let that go. You know
I mean,
what I'm
he already wore a shirt that said Trump versus everybody. So it's obviously how you feel. He's one of the more woke individuals people sleep on because he doesn't really say a lot.
Right.
I feel like when Marshawn retired, it's going to be a lot of thoughts he might express.
Well, you know what? I think that, you know, he has that new. What is it like?
That show, that's so, wrong.
And that's showing a lot about him as a person. So I think that he gets a little bit more,
there's a lot more than Marshawn people.
You don't say nothing about your boy Eminem, though. He on a whole national televised show.
He can't go ball for ball with M, though.
So that's why. He's silent as Papa Doc,
man. Do it?
Dog, he saw what happened to Papa Doc.
You don't want none of that. He's like Meek Mill Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
Like, he only really fucking
Twitter
gets on
fingers.
Twitter.
Man.
And
man,
he
has too much time.
He like the comment meme.
That nigga like.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he not really.
First of all.
Like, he doesn't really say anything
to me. First of all, do
y'all
really think. I have a theory. I don't really think Trump be tweeting for real.
Oh, I think he tweets for real.
No, because
I think
he's can't. Like, first of all, if Trump look like he's 70-something years old. First of all, Trump is a testament for nothing else. Trump is a testament, dog. Niggas be giving up way too early in life. This nigga ain't become president until he's 77 years old. Bitch,
I ain't even, but
hey,
you know what, though?
You 25, you 30, you 35.
Don't you be
not give up on your shit, dog.
Don't you be rapping.
Niggas, don't do that.
I'm
lifelong fucking excuses for some stuff. You are not, it's not over with. But anyway, like, this nigga look like the nigga that takes selfies like this. On his, if he had a girl, like, come on.
Oh, you know, I don't think he does have a Twitter, huh? But when you think about it, Twitter is probably the only thing that people can use.
He probably
older because it's just
words.
Yeah, it's
right. Just press post.
You don't have to really.
And you know what though?
Do
I feel like he pressed them about. I feel like we got him to thank for more captions because he probably pressed like, hey, I ain't got enough, dog. I'm gonna need some more shit. Like,
but I mean, okay, so there's the prominent black people that really aren't doing anything that he's attacking.
Sorry.
And then there's the white people that are doing things
like
that
a,
you need to fucking
like
talk
new
about.
Clan
I mean,
out
here. All these damn terrorists. No,
I'm not even gonna
put the air quotes.
No.
These terrorists out here that's trying to one up each other
terrorists.
With these goddamn mass shootings. Like, oh, so you killed
bang,
35?
Bang.
I'm gonna kill 70. Oh, yeah, you killed 70? I'm going to kill 200. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, so he doesn't take the time to really address that. And then what he did with the Puerto Rico thing, he was like,
"Oh my god!
Wait, was the Puerto Rico that wasn't a part of the country? Right. Some shit, some stupid shit. His dumb
ass
did. I'm going to see the president of Puerto Rico and some shit. Like, so you going to see yourself?
You are the prince.
Puerto Rico is still a territory. It's not a state, correct?
Right, but I don't think they have a president.
No, they don't have a president. I think he's sure their president. It's not a mayor though.
I don't want
to get into civics, but I know they don't have like a mayor. Like,
no. But it's not a president. I think they share our president, though.
Yeah.
I know, but like, who?
They have the same officials.
It's not a state, though.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. When he made that statement, he still was talking about his fucking self. That's what I was saying. Of course. We don't really know what they're doing.
I don't really know what be going on. Shout out to my Puerto Rican people.
I damn sure the trans
my mama see that's my Boricua.
Yeah, I damn sure didn't pass that shit in high school. Like, I did enough just to get out, and then I didn't need it in high school. So
I fell asleep crazy. So,
right. But then, I just feel like he doesn't take the time out to address these things. And it's so crazy because every fucking incident, Obama be on it.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
Like, he's still in office. He be on it. Like, so the press going out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's never like...
I'm here.
You know, it's never like a hiccup in the shit. Right. But to even go further with the thing, not only does he attack prominent black people, his little minions, his little Republican minions, like y'all mad at Malia Obama for being a fucking college student.
Right.
I don't give a damn if she was that stroke tongue all down your throat with that little, was he white?
Yeah, he was a pilgrim.
With that little white boy. I don't care if that's what she was doing. Baby, she in college. Baby, she's lucky that's all y'all caught her doing. Because we know she lied to him.
First of all, let's just be honest.
Come on now.
The white people I know that went to college, they was doing coke. So, we gonna just...
All the white people I know.
Yeah, I mean, they just a mess. Hey, Ron, you wanna fuck? No, nigga, what the fuck wrong with you?
I was friends with the regular stoners, not that. But I'm just saying, it's like y'all wanna, you know, you wanna keep talking about Malia Obama. She's doing this. How can she do this? First of all, nigga, we know what your white pussy look like. Like, get out of here. I don't know what Michelle pussy look like. We know what yours look like. We know what your white titty pussy, all kind of shit look like. Like, are you serious?
According to Moore, we got the results back. In the case of your wife's pussy, that bitch look cool, trash.
Oh god!
Ass,
but I'm just saying,
that bitch look
they don't take the time. She don't even look like this. She had clothes open again.
It's supposed to be like this, though. Not even that's way too.
She a communist, man.
I mean, like we keep saying, he doesn't take the time to really address the points that matter. Like, exactly. Have you said, you know, moving on to our next topic, have you said anything about Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Man, look, dog.
And we say that like it's
fucking these actors and actresses to get parts. We all know this shit. I think it's just fucked up. Let me tell you what's fucked up. And I seen somebody tweet about this shit the other day.
Talk about it. Terry Crews, I just want him to stop talking about his incident.
I get it, but now it's getting...
You ever, like, seen somebody talk about something too much? That you kind
of
like...
First of all, they tried to clown on the opposite side. They tried to clown K. Michelle for talking about an incident with her ex. Mm-hmm. That was true.
With Memphis?
Yeah. That was true. They kept telling her she was lying. Stop talking about... You can't tell them about that expression. Talk about that thing.
Let me tell you. When it comes to her and Memphis, he blew that. He blew any chance he had at anybody believing him out the water when he got on that goddamn couples whatever thing with Toya.
But see, they should.
And even Toya was looking at that nigga like.
I mean, but she like that's first of all, it's a lesson to learn. You can't tell nobody how to grieve or how to deal with that shit.
Yeah, true.
And Terry, as a black man, we never get the chance to express our hurt, of dismay, of pain that go with it. So, yeah, look a little awkward for some
small ass
man.
But my question with him is, as much as he's talked about it, is a woman that did it or is a man? It's a woman, right?
It was a man.
Or was he with his wife? Because I know
I think
one
he was
time,
with his wife.
I think one of the shows I saw him on,
brushed up
he said that whoever he was, I guess it must have been his wife, because he was like, they was I guess, proud of him for not, I guess, getting violent or reacting it like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? That all goes back to the fact that I also seen the tweet that said, like, as like black men are always, like, y'all can't never really react the way y'all, like, the true reaction, you know what I'm saying? Because the true reaction is going to always be seen as, oh, look at that ignorant ass nigga, you know? Even though the person did some shit to warrant getting their head knocked off or whatever, like, you know what I'm saying?
We as a people, black women always seen as the angry black woman if they react, and, you know, we always, the men always seen as volatile and angry and shit like that. But, you know, we just need to really say, man, fuck it. All this in my feelings shit, bitch, being, you gotta, your feelings make up your life. Bitch, I'm gonna tell you
in
how
my
I
feelings,
feel.
Okay?
You know what I'm saying?
I'm in my feelings.
Somebody
okay?
told me I need to let my feelings go, bitch. You open the Pandora's box. I'm gonna let you know. I don't like this shit.
We gonna say that side conversation, but I will say, speaking of Pandora's box, the Harvey Weinstein, like, opened up this, it went.
Everybody
came through. Like, everybody, damn, I do want to be an actress. Is everybody a creep? But they say that's why it's called Hollywood.
Man, but you know, but see, you got to understand, like, acting is really the hypocrisy. Like, it's not really, in capitalism or in this country, we're said to believe if you have a skill and it's proven, your skill is proven, that you could get any job. See, acting, whether you want to believe it or not, is really unfair. How do these people, like, why do you have to audition for a part? You forgot how to act? Like, are you ever going to forget how to act?
No, that's not why I'm
acting. No, I'm just saying.
They
like, want to
make sure you write for everybody.
These are
right
seasoned, I know, understand. But you could almost pick that off of, like, it shouldn't even be called an interview.
Not even that.
Or audition.
No, because let me tell you something. If that's the case, then why do we go on interviews? Because there are a lot of jobs that I have to go on an interview that I'm like, it's clear in my resume, bitch. I've been doing that for 8 years.
True.
I know. So, I mean, it's just, they're just, that's just their interview. They want to make sure that person is,
unlike,
you know, the right fit for whatever they feel like the character is.
True. But unlike sports, though. Sports. Or anything else like that. You can tell, like, but see, you can tell, like.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why.
You might not be as good. You might be better than such and such.
But you know what?
Such and such get the part because of a relationship.
Being a theater major, it's like acting, and I was a theater major at LSU. It's, and I mean, I wasn't even on the acting side. I was actually on, like, the Harvey Weinstein side.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Meaning, like, the executive side.
No, LB, the booty side.
Shut up! So, you know, studying it from that end and studying, you know, plays and different things, you know, it is a little more, you're right, it is a little more different than being an athlete or doing different things. Doing different things or singing and all this thing. What, like you say, is up there because, you know, for example, I'm going to use this person as an example. Jason Mitchell played in Straight Outta Compton, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was his, like, first major role, right?
Nah.
So in a Hollywood world or in the acting world, like, for example, I'm trying to think, like, a point guard right now. That's just the wild.
Devin Booker?
Like, in the NBA.
Devin Booker?
People just know off top.
Oh, Russell Westbrook.
Okay, so Russell Westbrook, right? He plays point guard.
Yeah.
That's what we know Russell Westbrook for playing.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to ever say throw him over there and play forward or play center, right? Because he's pigeonholed and that's his role, right? So in acting, it was two roles that, you know, Jason Mitchell could have went down. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna play this Straight Out of Compton, black, you know, hip hoppy person all the time. I'm gonna probably go get a role on Empire and Power and all these, you know, seemingly hip-hop shows and just walk down that road because that's what I know what I'm known for. So I can go into these interviews and pretty much go in there with the job. It's a formality more than anything. You know what I'm saying? Or I can take the role that he has taken. I'm going to take these different roles that, you know, people are not really seeing, that I show when I play the Eazy-E character, but it takes a certain type of executive to say, okay, I've seen him on the road. Like, this was from an interview that I read. Like, the Mudbound movie that he's in on Netflix and stuff. The lady who was, like, the director, she had a wish list. And he was at the top of the wish list. And she was like, I wanted him because of how he cried in the bed. And the fact that he was vulnerable and showed this side of black man that never gets shown Because, you know, right. Like you just say, you know, they can't, you can't really express your feelings. Right. So I feel like this, you know, to say that, you know, the whole rest of the part is these actors are going into these things saying, I'm trying to get this role for whatever reason. I want to change. And now here goes somebody saying, well, you really want this. You know, imagine, you know, imagine you just saying, I don't want to get pigeonholed or on the other end. Yeah. I've finally been working my ass off. Like, I just seen the Just Hilarious chick. She said she got a movie, you know, a movie deal. Mm-hmm. I've been working my ass off, putting up videos on Instagram. I've been doing all these B movies and stuff. And I finally got to Harvey Weinstein. This is like
he said, oh, you really want the role?
And you really want the role? And now you really want the role? Well, yeah. What you gonna do for the role? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
You gonna stick this plunger up my ass?
Oh, that's what we gotta say.
Okay. It's a dick. Okay, LL Cool J,
I'm like low key glad that all this happened.
I am too.
Because this is the thing. This just needs to bring up the importance that everybody needs their own outlets, man. You know, everybody needs to exercise their power.
Hey.
So
bring it back to the fact that y'all do know that. And I've been this because I'm obsessed with this person. But y'all do know back in the G, like Dame Dash, like allegedly slapped the fuck out of his ass. And
what?
Because he was playing.
I got some dirt on you, doggy.
And like, so I finally got some dirt on you, doggy. The full story behind that. So Dame was like, when they did Pay the
Bill O'Reilly's show.
I didn't even know, you know, his company was behind putting out Pay the Fool. So he was like, the man was playing with him. He act like he, you know, he didn't want to put it out the right way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this lets you know, like, even though Dane, at the time of playing Paid in Full, had solidified himself as, like, an executive, and, at least they probably hadn't came out by then. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he solidified himself as somebody, like, okay, I know how to make money, is what I'm saying. So, you playing with him. Like, he said, oh, yeah, we was popping up everywhere. We popping at the Kings Festival. We popping up in Paris. Oh, he going to be here. Like, he was like, we really putting pressure on this nigga because he really thought that they was not going to be at these places that they could, you know, like, and people, you know, people might not know, but they, like, really into that movie shit. So, like, that nigga, like, nah, nigga, I was at this shit because I take this shit seriously. Right. And then he was like, I'm looking at niggas in the industry, you know, in this movie industry.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, yeah, people scared of, you know, Weinstein. They scared of Harvey. They scared of him and all this shit. He looked at that nigga and said, man, he a bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying? What you mean? I'm not scared of him because he a bitch to me.
It was said that Dame saw or heard about him disrespecting women. He slapped the fuck.
Yeah, that's what it was. He said, "I'm not gonna see nobody around me get disrespected. I don't care who you is. Like, he was like, that didn't have anything to do with him. It being Harvey Weinstein. That just had the fact that ain't nobody around me gonna get disrespected."
But y'all remember the epic? It's a gift now. You Mad by Camera. You go on YouTube right now. It was an interview. Bill O'Reilly interviewed Dame,
Cam,
and that principal from some school or whatever. And they was talking about the negative effects of hip-hop and stuff like that.
Oh, right? Yeah, I remember that interview.
And Bill O'Reilly just got fired, too, for allegedly, sexual misconduct.
It's
talking
so
to women
crazy.
Bad, crazy shit like that.
Saying, those
hold on,
like
and Cam said this. Oh, you foul. I got some dirt on you, doggy. Chill out. The dirt was what came out later that happened with Bill now about him acting with women, shit like that.
Right.
He knew how he did that.
Cam knew this whole thing.
That's who Bill rocked with. Your people.
Harvey Weinstein.
I was about to say, birds of a feather.
Creeps of a feather. Creep the motherfucking gather.
Fingering together.
Dog. I don't hang around with creep
ass
niggas.
Remember that,
bitch, if you ain't, she don't want you, dog. Leave her alone, doggy. You know what? That's a perfect segue. Shout out to Cam.
No, that's not where we're going.
We could go there.
That's not where we're going.
You gotta do something.
That's last. We're not going there. That's too long. That's why we're not going.
All right, bet.
So, I will say that I feel like it's okay. So, this is people always saying I'm weird because I watch like Investigation Discovery and Snapped and all this stuff. So, I was watching this episode of Snapped and they had the lady on that she had killed the husband or whatever. She was saying it was some of Okay, so she was saying it's self-defense, but come to find out, so this man was like this, like, general in the army or some shit like that, mm-hmm. some, like, high-ranking person, but he was retired. So this motherfucker had, like, all kind, she found all kind of child porn on his computer. So this was, like, when the outside world saw that their marriage was breaking out, this was, like, the why. So she was, like, I think Russian or something like that, and she was like, okay, I'm not going to turn you in, but I need you to go get help. Like, you need to, you know, get help. So I guess he tried for a little while. And the night that the whole murder went down, she found some more child porn. Like, after the, you know, some new, whatever, new batch. Yeah. So, you know, long story short, she ended up, some kind of way they got into, like, an argument. And she, I don't know, she shot him or something. It was somewhere where he was shot, but it wasn't, like, a deadly injury. It was going to bring the police to the house. Mm-hmm. So he was, like, the whole thing is they claiming that he killed himself in the end because he didn't want, you know, the police to find out. So these people really be holding these fucking skeletons. And I think that, you know, It's a lot to say, especially when it's Hollywood. I think that people don't tell because they feel like, well,
you don't want to get
it's
blackballed.
Me against the, yeah, it's blackball.
If you tell on one
person,
this is Harvey
Weinstein. You know what I'm saying?
Harvey got so many friends that's doing the same shit.
Right.
Because
as you can see,
if you tell on them.
First of all, this came out and they sent him to fucking sex rehab. No. Like they fired him from the company. Mm-hmm. We all know he's still getting paid. That's just some bullshit. You know. PR stunt to say he's not with the company, but we know he's still with the company.
Right.
And you send him to fucking sex rehab, but if Ronnie, a regular person, would have did some shit like that, they in jail, they got arrested for sex offender, they life old. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy to say all that to say. We are currently dealing with that, with the Centauri Brown thing.
But hold up, before you move to that, on the cool. This is good, you know. I'm a fan that it got a rain for the sun to shine the brightest. This is what's going on right now. This is even making it a further cause for people to move further away from traditional means of going through channels to make your creativity shown.
Because baby, Netflix giving everybody the show.
And then not even with that, what we're doing right now with YouTube, people are really
making their own
themselves
content.
And making their own content and doing what. Shout out to Dame. This nigga's clown Dame.
But that nigga was...
I always rock with Dame. Dame is the homie. Fuck with
Dame
everybody
was always,
talking about.
Let me say, Dame is always
on
your own boss.
Me, myself,
me
and
boss.
I for the name on the back of the jersey.
Right.
Not the one on the front. Fuck these niggas. Yeah,
y'all remember that episode, the scene with the backstage when he was mad about the Def Jam jacket? Yeah. He was like, the jacket say Def Jam. And then he was like, I know you not stupid. He was like, so if a nigga see the jacket and it's a Def Jam, what they gonna think?
But see,
he's always
give and take with Dan with certain stuff. Sometimes I agree with certain stuff,
right.
I don't.
But for the
principle,
the general argument.
Not the way you do it.
His argument is be your. It's always a boss argument. It's always
be
your
yourself,
own boss.
Like,
it's always going at fucking
put
corporate
your own money
up and fight for
your
shit.
Own money.
Yeah, you know, fight for your shit.
As soon as you take another nigga dollar, now that nigga dollar,
that dollar
come with suggestions. You need a suggestion like, okay, you should do this.
You.
If you don't, I'm gonna take my money.
And being a female in a male-driven industry, I cannot stress to y'all how important it is to have something of your own. I was just, you know, offsetting.
Yeah, no, really.
But I was just talking to somebody about this today. I was like, you know, people see me and see my confidence and think that, you know, Allie probably don't need nothing. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it gets to me that I feel like a lot of times I don't get clapped for. Like, I'm the only female that does hip-hop on my radio station. There is no other female on my radio station doing hip-hop. And I've been doing it consistently. Like, it's not like maybe today I'm going to do it. You know, like, it's like a consistency thing with it. But it's something that I did. It's something that I get up every day and do. It's a brand that I push forward.
Right.
You know, like, they just not playing Love by Kendrick Lamar and Crew by Golden Child. So this one here for Crew. But, you know, it's like, I'm often like, once it gets to radio, I'm like, man, I don't feel like fucking putting that shit back in rotation, nigga.
Right.
Get with it. You know, so, you know, at the same time, I have my own night in New Orleans. It's not my night because of somebody else, or it's not my night because I gotta have this person come through, or it's not my night because this person has this big star, somebody has co-signed it. And I'm a girl, you know, to be a girl in New Orleans, DJing, and having a fucking night, and that bitch being consistent every week, you know. So I think that people don't realize that, you know, having, you know, the one thing that I always take from it is, I don't owe nobody nothing, though.
Right.
There's nobody that can say, oh, I gave her that radio show. Mm-hmm. Only thing that nigga can say about me in that radio show is, I called her and asked her if she wanted to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gave her the heads up to put in the motherfucking, you know, the application.
Yeah.
But I stress that to people so much. You know, mostly, you know, young girls and stuff. But I try to stress that to, you know, entrepreneurs, that it's always great. It's good to have that network. It's good to have those people that say, okay, that person can do this for me, that person can do that for me, and I can call this person, I know they get a plug for this. But it's always great to have those core things that you can say is mine,
right,
and I did it myself, and it's my thing. And I think that with this Harvey Weinstein thing and acting, it's really hard as an actor or an actress to say that you're going to build something, because those people really are the definition of starving artists.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of times, they're no 9-to-5 desk and then going off to no interviews. You know, when you're trying to really be an actress or an actor, you have to go hard for that, and you have to really give up a lot of stuff, and you have to say, okay, I'm going to go take this waitress job and make ends. You know how many of those stories, like, you know, Taraji and all these some people that say they had to pretty much, yeah, and you know, they had to really sacrifice to get to the $1 million mark, you know. Yeah. So it's like, I can understand it to the extent that it's like, okay, you go in here and you think, Harvey Weinstein, oh my God.
Fuck that nigga.
Yeah, bro, look.
But then I want my name dash, like, well,
iPhone 10, get you a stabilizer, shoot your shit.
But not even that. I think that goes to the fact of putting people on these pedestals and making them like these godly, like,
man,
people.
Fuck that
that
fat,
people just
fat
wanna
white man that wanna dick niggas down.
My mama watching.
Yeah. My mama, hey, you know how she you got here.
Stop it.
Yeah. But no, for real. Everybody that so, has influence, bro, y'all gotta keep, you know,
I mean,
y'all gotta keep rocking
grind,
with each
keep
other.
Your shit.
You do have to.
We the one pushing the culture forward.
I mean, and what I will say is,
like,
too many people out there. You got Issa Rae. You have Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
You have
the chick
that's about
the YouTube creators.
I'm not saying that. You have the chick that's doing this Chicago series on Showtime. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember my name off the top of my head right now. You know what I'm saying? You have all these different black, you know, filmmakers and content creators, if you want to just call them content creators, you know what I'm saying, that are showing, especially Donald Glover with Atlanta, like, that's showing you that everything does not have to be by the blueprint.
What's
it does not have to be this cookie-cutter show.
With
Insecure, that's not a cookie-cutter show. You know, the people latch onto that show because it's so about what we really sitting at home doing. Like, man, that really did happen to me one time. Like, I remember, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are sitting at home, you know, looking at that. And even with the Atlanta show, at least a lot of different things in the Atlanta show, I'm like,
I
almost told my boss that I smoked that blunt. That's how she told her that. She was like, you really wasn't even gonna really
know that. Let's reel it back, man. Fuck that nigga. Stop being creep. Your own content. We ain't gotta answer nobody. You got
but
your own
speaking
content.
Speaking of putting people in positions, I hate to get to this topic because it always makes me go to like a darker place with the whole Khalid Browder thing. But the Santoya Brown thing is, I can't stress, and it's mainly because I watch these different shows on, you know, Investigation Discovery, and it makes, I always end up Googling and not getting lost in Google, and I'm also whole other stuff like, oh, this person doing this. You know, I cannot stress to you enough how many Santoya Browns are sitting in somebody's woman correctional facility because they probably killed their pimp. They probably killed their child molester. They probably killed. They killed some man that was doing something sexually to them that was just, you know, unspeakable. Right. But for some reason, the American justice system wants to protect that man over the girl or the woman. You know, like the woman has, and every, you know, like in rape cases, when if a woman say she's been raped, she has to go through so much to prove that she's been raped. You know what I'm saying? Like, that most women don't even want to, who wants to go through, I've been raped. And now I have to, re-raped through the whole justice process.
I'm not talking about the Satoya Brown situation, but it is always, even in justice, period, it's on the burden of the accuser.
To prosecute.
And to prove to what's happened, because the burden is on them. They came forth, so they have to prove.
Right, but the thing with the Satoya Brown thing, what makes it so horrible is her whole story. It's like, how could a jury sit there and say, okay, we're going to sentence you to life? You know, like, to know that there was a... to not be able to process how somebody's mental is, that at some point, this person is going to, like, the show say,
hold on. I'm not trying to defend the criminal judge. I'm not doing that at all. But if you read more into this article, basically, how we perceive in the thing is common sense. It's common sense, but and what kind of makes the law how it is, and people really don't understand this fuck. That's why we need a revamping of it. The law isn't really so much more common sense. There's a couple of laws that have since then, since her case, and since they have been changed, that would have made got a different result. You know what I'm saying? So now, as how fucked up it is, a lot of times, especially even when we talked about with the Trump thing and just with with Hawaii's thing, sometimes shit gotta go down for shit to be changed.
I mean, and I, you know what, in a state, because y'all know, I try my hardest not to, because Khalid brought it and became part of my family. But that's it makes you feel like that she's gonna be that martyr, so to speak. You know, she's probably, hopefully she doesn't kill herself in November. You know, Khalif had to go through all of what he went through just for New York to finally say, we're going to close Rikers Island. Right. Not to say that he was the first to go through it. You know, that whole documentary showed you that people would plead to cases that they knew if they took it to court, they would win just to get off of Rikers Island. I'm going to go ahead and take this 2 year at a whole nother correctional facility. Just so you can get me out this hell.
It's fucked up.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, and watching all these little court shows, and it teaches me a lot about how these women get convicted. A lot of times, like Ronnie say, it's not necessarily about the story that we see. Like, you know, we're reacting with our emotions. Yeah. We're hearing her story. We're saying, okay, this little girl, this happens to this girl, this is wrong. But probably, because there's a show that comes on, I think Oxygen, it's like the jury speaks, and they go back and do these cases like they did OJ and different cases. They speak to the jury after. So it's like, basically, would you have made this same decision after? And they ask the jury, like, how could you have, you know, made this blockbuster decision? And in every case, as a juror, like Ronnie said, you get these rules. They tell you these are the rules.
This is how they tell you. Like, say you're in a courtroom, I bring evidence of this. Then guess what? If something's wrong with the evidence,
right? You can't even
stricken it. I can't use it. So, but as a person, I've already received.
Right. So you have to.
But through the court process, I can't use. So that piece of evidence that I would have used, she killed the man. But based on what the circumstances,
I
can't
use
that.
The one thing I do want to know.
Now I gotta give.
I want to know what was the circumstances in the murder.
I gotta give her that.
Because apparently, I'm more than sure. I'm not gonna say more than sure, but I'm gonna say. Five times out of ten, whatever the circumstances behind the actual murder of the predator is why she's in jail. Because just like the story I told earlier about the wife that killed the husband, she got time, or I think it might have got like time served, whatever. She got convicted. But she got convicted based on what happened. Like, you were saying it was self-defense, and it was kind of, but it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? So even though he had child porn on his computer, it doesn't matter. So people, I think it's more of a, like you said, it's more of an emotion thing. And it's not as cut and dry as the Khalif Browder thing. Like, we know Khalif never got a trial. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know he sat somewhere and never even got to even go through what she went through. Like, he never even got through the whole process of, let me at least prove to you that I didn't steal his backpack. You know what I'm saying?
Put that man there, forgot about
it. And put him there, they forgot. When I found out that the person who accused him was in Mexico, and they knew that he was in Mexico, and they still was, like, pushing the case. Like, you can't push a case when an accuser not, and he's not even in the same country. He can't even come to court and say, yeah, he did it, you know, so
stuck until they get
right. So, you know, for him to go through it, and, you know, that's a really delve too deep in that. You know, it was reasons why he really did fight the way he fought, because, you know, he saw his brother go through the whole plan to get it all, you know, and that's, I'm not doing it, you know, so, I mean, damn sure, I'm pretty sure the Centauri chick, she probably felt like she should have fought it. Because, I mean, I cannot imagine living part of the life she lived. And then in some cases, people who live their life, they feel like the jail term be like a set them free situation. So, I mean, because she was in the worst damn jail, being with a damn sexual predator and basically being a sex slave than she's ever going to probably be in jail. You know, like, so, I mean, I hope that, you know, there is some loophole in her case.
She received her bachelor's, and she's doing a lot of work, even within the system, inside the system, to change the laws that basically put her in jail for defending herself.
Right. I hope there's some good can come out of it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna be honest. Mack is sitting in jail for a crime he clearly didn't commit.
So
you gotta make the best of your situation. You know.
All I can say is for people, dog, try to make, you know, sometimes things happen to you. Don't be a victim.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't be a victim.
And even when it happens, it could be the betterment for you. Or somebody else behind you, because, you know, Khalif might really have just been a sacrificial lamb for people. For something,
I mean, that's what his mom said. His mom felt like that's what made her fight past his death.
But that's what she said made her fight past his death.
At one point she went through a little process of what she didn't want to. But then she realized, like, I have to do this because this is why this is happening. I mean, even though they say it's gonna take years to close that jail, just to know
the process happened.
Right. Just know that it's gonna happen. So on a lighter subject, so we have this little debate going around on social media about the drug dealer music.
Okay.
Rappers. Hey, I make the drug dealer music versus the I make the drug user music rappers.
Let me
break it down some. So basically the OG rappers, not all of them, but the majority of them feel like they can't, I guess, co-sign a dig, or if you want to say the newer rappers of this generation, because they feel like, you know, y'all encouraging children to use drugs, blah, 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 with the whoop. And they feel like somehow they earned their motherfucking stripes because they made drug dealer music. Now, I'm gonna go this way.
Stupid this shit sounds.
Sit right here. We're gonna go like this. So we're gonna stop a Ziggy and we're gonna go like this.
The sound is right now, it was a natural progression, bro. Yeah, all these cats that was the pushers, all these cats that was the kingpins, all these cats that was the peddlers, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you had all these people that got, you know, caught up with the game and stuff, and everybody has to have a voice.
Right.
So it's natural that, you know, eventually there's going to be more users than actual dealers.
Right.
And they got to have a voice, too. So I feel like that whole thing about, you know, trying to shit on users is some bullshit. Because, I mean, same time, ain't nothing but a cycle. Because the music that our parents and stuff we listen to, that was all users, too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mary Jane, the Curtis Mayfield, the cocaine song. Goddamn, D'Angelo, Brown
all
Sugar,
of it.
Parliament. They was all on coke, LSD, acid, all.
Parliament itself.
So there's no difference with that in hip-hop either, you know. Right. So, like, I feel like that has its place, too. You know, everybody don't want to hear from the seller's perspective because majority of us copying
really
from
not
them.
Sellers. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a seller. Never have been.
That's my two cents.
I
don't
use
that.
I say I mean, I don't consider weed a drug.
Allegedly, you know.
Weed is not a drug.
Yeah,
it's from the herbs.
I did my weed to enjoy.
Not the druggish stuff. I'm just talking about straight loud. I'm just talking about loud. That's all. But from my point of view of it is, first of all, two motherfucking wrongs don't make a right. You're not going to sit up here and glorify being this drug dealer. You're not going to do that. And then downplay the drug user. Because, first of all, before I get to my second part of my argument, the first part of my argument is, my favorite rapper is DMX. He is a crackhead. So, you want to talk about drug user music and saying that these people are pushing codeine, they pushing popping Zannies and bars and mushrooms and all this stuff like that. Okay, he's a crackhead.
Off the
pookie. Crackhead. Y'all was sniffing coke. Hash. All of these different things that was going on in the Puffy era and the 80s, the LL Cool J, Russell Simmons 80s era. You know, we just gonna go that far back. We ain't gonna start with the 70s music or something like, you know what I'm saying? So for you to say, okay, somehow that's wrong, it's crazy to me because you're not an angel yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have OGs in my life that were, you know, that are in the drug dealer music era, you know, rappers and hip-hop. And even we've had this conversation. Even they have said, like, them niggas is not, you know, like, I don't know what's wrong with, even they have said, I don't know what's wrong with them. Because they're pretty much, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. Then there's the other end of, you know, like 21 Savage, so eloquently put. I don't know if he actually wrote that, but I'm going to go with he probably wrote it. You know, his little note he put on Twitter to be like, how can you, you know, basically his whole note was like, y'all coming at us new school rappers about making drugs.
Loud noses.
Y'all coming at us new school rappers about making drug user music when y'all was selling to our mama. Y'all sold the drugs probably to our parents. So this is basically us talking about our upbringing and our life and what's going on. And this is maybe how we deal with that. Right. And then there's, like I told Ronnie at the radio station, there's the other side of it. There's the Kid Cudis. There's the Uzi Verts. Mm-hmm. There's the people who suffer with certain things where maybe self-medication ain't the best way to deal with it. But
even though
Uzi Vert is seen as this person that does like the, you know, he pops Zans and he has this addiction, he has even said, like, I actually got prescribed it because I have anxiety. For my anxiety. I just, you know, got hooked. So it turned into an addiction. Everybody knows that Kid Cudi deals with all kind of mental things, night terrors, depressions, all kind of stuff. So to kind of not really, and then 21 Savage has the freaking obituary of every friend that has died. Like, most of his friends are not here. Like, so all this, like, success that he's seeing, the people who probably at some point did something to help him get here are not even here to say, hey, you know, let me clap for my homie. You know what I'm saying? So to be an OG and try to say, you know, try to downplay it, that's crazy. Because I feel like, you know, I came up on the Rockefellers and the Rough Riders and the Nas's and the Talibs, and that was my music, you know, and the Hot Boys. And I knew that all my Hot Boys, except for, well, no, that didn't Wayne. They all was on something. But that's who we looked up to, you know what I'm saying? That was who we looked up to. BG is the biggest drug user there is. Turk was just on this damn marriage thing on Ayana Fix My Life talking about his drug problem, you know what I'm saying? We know Juvie had a drug problem. He might have been maybe the most functional one out of all of them. We know for a fact that Wayne have said he wish he would have never, ever sipped codeine because it's like after that was it for him. And he's still trying to walk around talking about some damn seizures. Nigga, you don't just start suffering from seizures in your 30s. No, it don't work like that. That you got Yams or the ASAP Mob and different things. I just feel like we're trying to, you know, That was kind of like, remember when we were talking about the 4 for 4 album? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was kind of my whole, pushed me away from that album for a little bit. That I didn't like that Jay-Z came across as this OG rapper that was like,
yeah,
y'all shouldn't be doing this. Oh, yeah. But as to say that, you didn't do, maybe you didn't put no money to your ear jam. Maybe you didn't do that, but you did some stupid shit with your money as a kid. As an older guy, because that thing, as an older woman, I'm older now. Now, 34 self could tell my 24 self some stupid shit I did that I'm like, that ain't what you want to do. That ain't, you know. But these people are young, let them enjoy yourself. But you know, it's all to say, like we said, one, the pot calling the kettle black. You telling me that some kind of way making drug dealer music is better than making drug use. We don't have no music to uplift the community. Neither one of these is music to uplift the community, to be honest with you.
Two sides of a wrong.
Right. So
that's all my goal. Look, I'm going to tell you like this, dog. Let me start with this. When somebody tells you something, that something is wrong, it was something they used to do, it's not being hypocritical, it's the warning. Because only the person that drove left and went through that, went in there can tell me the dangers of doing it. And they're going to say, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? So let's get that straight first. My whole thing about drug dealer music versus drug user music, let's be honest. These are the people in the 80s and the 90s, the 90s in particular, that made this music about selling drugs. These are the people that you sold drugs to, kids.
Right. That's exactly what 21 Savage said.
This is what y'all got. Like, what did you think? Because my always thing was, always laughing, like, who y'all selling all these drugs to? Because if you sell it to somebody, so what do you, I don't, nobody really had that forethought or whatever to think that hip-hop, like, not even just on the little scale of hip-hop, but just people, like, who you think these people were selling drugs to? What do you think was going to happen to them? Like, because you made money.
Right.
But who was the recipient of the hardship, of the addiction, of being able not to control
the addiction? I don't think no drug dealer ever looks like that.
So, basically, drug dealers don't look at it. The rappers don't look at it. So now you have the drug dealer rappers that either were drug dealers and now became rappers that didn't look at that, or just rappers who preached that message didn't look at it too. Okay, you were talking about this, you know, somebody was doing it, somebody found it, and now these people are expressing the same thing. Right. That same hardship you did about why you sold drugs to do what you do to make the money. Now you spend these people expressing the same hardship of why I do drugs, what I have to cope with, and why I have to cope with. Right. Now you have a differential. So for me to say, like, it just looks crazy. It looks like, you know, when we deal with our community, ageism, separation.
Mm-hmm. It's another thing to just kind of, I agree.
To divide and basically, you know, not conquer, but dismay or whatever.
Right.
Just, whatever, so.
You know, and I think that, too, it like I always tell people, you know, being a DJ and having a show that's not seen as, like, a radio show that's not seen as, like, a mainstream show, you know, people, like, when I told people I love Love is Rage, too, people were going to be like, you like Lil Uzi Vert? And I was like, look, let me tell you something. I will be the first to admit to any of my faults, you know what I'm saying? And I fell into that whole, nobody want to hear that old mumble rap. Nobody don't want to hear it. You know, I fell into that because at the end of the day, yes, I'm a DJ. Yes, I'm expected to have an open ear and give everything a whirl, you know. But I'm not going to lie and say I come up off of Rough Riders. I come up off of Rockefeller. I come up off of Cash Money. You know, like, these are the labels that, you know, raised me and got me into this whole hip-hop thing. But I also would be wrong to say that at the same time, I find comfort in Kid Cudi. Mm-hmm. Or I find comfort in Fall Out Boy and, you know, different little stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I find comfort in these little, you know, just Evanescence and shit like that. Like, I find comfort in different things. So, what's it for me to give Lil Uzi Vert a whirl? When at the end of the day, at the time that album came out, he had been on so many, like, features, and I was like, I kind of like his sound, but I'm saying all that to say that I think that a lot of people...
Let me finish the thought, because you just made me think about it.
What you got, man?
First of all, now, it is a difference. It is a difference between paying your pain and glorifying you.
Right.
What people tend to do, I remember Slip and Fall and Can't Get Up, you talking about DMX. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Far Hit Rock Bottom, talking about the dangers of doing it. you know, UGK was talking about the homeboys smoking fry and what they would do and what would come of it, you know, of these things and shit like that, of these things.
Right.
My problem is, and this is with inexperience from younger rappers, you really glorifying it in a way that, to you, because the way it's always, it's not the message, the way you tell the message.
And I'm gonna say
Cuddy doesn't never. I've been listening to Cuddy. Cuddy never glorifies.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I was about to say
Uzi.
I'm not about to say that.
Represent like.
No, I'm not about to say that. That's not what I'm about to say.
That was my thing on what I want to say about why I can see why older generations get mad.
I feel like those drug dealer making music people, there were way more people in that era that glorified being a fucking drug dealer. You know, it's just as much as there are people who are glorifying popping pills. Hey, man, there are way more people that did it then just as much as now. So like I say, it all boils down to the pot calling the kettle black at the end of the day. But I do feel like, you know, I was saying as far as like Ronnie saying about the whole separation thing, I think that with social media and a lot of different things that's, you know, just social things that's kind of like spawning these rules and what's making things so acceptable. What I see a lot, especially because when I'm one of the people that when any project, I don't care who it is, Uzi, Talib, Crit, whoever it is comes out, Jay-Z, Nas, Nicki, Jay, Kiss, Fab. When these people come out, I watch my timeline. I go search the hashtag. I scroll through the hashtag. And a lot of times it's just to see what people are liking off the album, to see if what they like off the album is what I like off the album. Are we together with it? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Is it a situation where, you know, am I calling the right songs, you know? But then I also look at it from a standpoint to see other opinions of certain albums because you really like the album. You really hate the album. Or you really hating something because it's cool to hate that person right now. It's not going to be cool for me to say that I like the album. You know what I'm saying? And I remember some people's like, how could you like Love Is... I like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why I like it. But I feel, in the words of Cardi B, bitch, I don't know why I like it, but I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so, and even with her, you know, people, I don't like Cardi B. Like, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
How can you hate Cardi, man?
I don't get it. She's about as 100 as, oh, shoot, what are we talking about?
Drug dealer versus drug user. We all can be a part of the solution. The solution is bridging the gap between what's...
The generation and trying to make something better, like, I think what always happens, we always scold the young, I think that's criticize the old,
but it don't have to be. It more so happens a lot more with us, than anybody else, and this is something that
because
we fall into
I
a
think
trap
that
of doing all this. We don't have to.
And I think that, like I said, more so now, everything is based on what's cool to do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know, when we come back, when me and Ziggy come back, and we do our end of the year list, and you can ask Ronnie too, I don't go off of what's the popular. I go off of what I really was playing, you know what I'm saying? And I can sit on the computer and search 2017 hottest, you know, albums of the year. And you're going to find so many of the list exact same, damn near verbatim for why they like, you know, the albums. And it's like, I just feel like
like
what you like. You know what I'm saying? I love Young Dolph. We know Young Dolph ain't no damn lyrical rapper. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, he ain't lyrical like a Nas. You know what I'm saying? But look, even to say this, I saw a tweet yesterday, right?
Let's change the lyrical shit.
And I was like,
hey, lyrical is subjective.
I saw a tweet yesterday.
We all
right?
do lyrics.
Look, I saw a tweet yesterday. So y'all know we living in the, right now, Fam and Kiss has finally dropped. You know, the Freddie vs. Jason mixtape, right? So, you know, it's definitely pretty. I like it. I'm gonna say briefly why I like it. I like the fact that Fab is not trying to be Kiss and Kiss not trying to be Fab. It's not one of them. You know how people tend to get on these mixtapes and it's like you can hear that Fab picked on the beats or some shit.
And you could tell it was a collective, like, picking, you know, you could tell, you know, you could tell it wasn't no, you could tell Fab being Fab. And Kisses being Kiss. Like, that's literally what the thing, like, Kiss is giving you what you expect. Fab gave it what I expected, and Kiss gave what I expected. But I also, I seen only one person, really, on my timeline that was like, I don't like that Fab and Kiss. And I respect him more so for saying, I don't like something in the climate of everybody being like, oh, you know, just being like, I don't like it. I'm fucking with that Davies. And that's, you know, that's true. I think people should like what they like.
Yeah.
I think that I agree with Ronnie. It's just stop having to be an older person trying to down what a younger person is doing. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you're downing these people. But like 21 Savage said, hip hop for the first time is like the number one genre right now.
I know,
and you're not celebrating that. You want to come and talk about how we doing it. You know.
But see, my thing is, I can't let you drink piss and call it lemonade. I can't say that it's great when it's not. I can't say just because we're doing this that it can't be better. Right. And I can't sit back and let people hurt themselves and influence other people to hurt themselves because it's cool. Because right now, more than ever, you got to think about it. It's no longer, it was Sherm at one point. Now you have these, we in a battle right now. America's at a war with opiates. They just declared a war.
Damn, fucking declared a war because
right now, more serious than ever, people are starting to realize that America's been in the business of selling and distributing drugs on every level.
Right.
So, we shouldn't really be aiding to making it look cool. That's all I'm saying. At least with the drug dealers, everybody was making money. It was kind of discouraged.
Still making it look cool?
What I'm saying is that at a time it was a double-edged sword. At a time they were making money look cool and making the user look like a fool. At the same time, the user and the dealer were both falling into the same traps, just different. Addicted to the hustle, either being dead or in jail, and the user overdosing and dying because of what they were doing or inhibiting their life from being able to progress in a certain way. So it's all one cycle that detrimental to both sides.
True. That's what I'm saying. I never said one side was right. They're both wrong.
Just being the older way, I can't, like, Molly Perkins said, like, they making it, it's no argument to the fact that they making it sound cool. They making it sound cool to be
physical. And you know what? That's what I hate about that argument. I hate about the argument because I don't have a ready-made line. I don't have a ready-made song. I don't have a ready-made.
I can think of what I'm saying is
I don't have a ready-made album to go to. But to sit up here and say that during the Rockefeller era, during the Rough Riders era, they did the same thing to make it.
I said both are equally wrong.
But my thing is right now it's gonna be there.
Like, bro, between the two parties, bro, there has to be some kind of dialogue, man, for real.
That's all I'm
saying. And
that's what needs to happen because these kids, bro, they got it like way worse.
Yeah, they do have it way messed up.
Because like on a mental level, bro, you gotta think about it, like the teenagers, like they seeing all these people get like murked by the police every day.
Right.
Got the worst leader in history and shit. You don't have anybody that really want to listen to your problems, want to listen to your issues.
And I feel like you know, I'm not gonna blame music for this,
but
I do feel like, you know, like
without really putting my business out there. I feel like a lot of people in our age range, we were some kind of way emotionally, it wasn't like we just knew to always go to our parents and speak our problems. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times, you know, especially in the black community, it's always pray about it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're depressed? Pray about it. And oh, you're this? Pray about it. Oh, you're that? Pray about it. Jesus got it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying Jesus. Please, Lord. Jesus. I don't need the Bible people coming on here. I'm not saying Jesus doesn't fix things. I'm not saying that. But I do feel like, you know, like recently, I just admitted to my, you know, my parent that I suffer with anxiety and different things. Because I just, I figured out my own way. Luckily, I figured out my own way through it. You know what I'm saying? How to... What works for me and how I deal with it and how, you know, how to notice it and stuff like that. Right. So I feel like now you have a bunch of kids who have parents who never learned how to deal with these things. They never learned how to deal with a lot of, you know, going to their parents. They never had that go to your parent and tell your parent this and go to. So now they basically like passing that on to their kids. Because there's a lot of kids, like, and this comes from me kind of like mentoring certain kids and stuff. They don't have any body to talk to.
Sit down and talk. That's what white people do. Sit down and hire somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
You need to do that.
They, and, but that, you know, and I agree. I tell people all the time, it's nothing wrong with going to a therapist. It's nothing wrong with none of that because you need that person
who is
so far from your problem that can give you that out. You're right. Right. And I think that they look at these artists, you know, just how we, you know, like how I always say, you know, I looked at Aaliyah and I looked at Left Eye because those people look like me.
Right.
So I looked at these women to find my strength for certain things. Like, okay, well, she's doing this. You know, she's doing this, you know, and not necessarily say that they were talking about stuff that I was going to do, but like, Image-wise, they look like me or what I imagined myself to want to look like if I could, you know, emulate somebody, you know.
Right.
So I agree with Ronnie and I agree with, you know, Ziggy that I think the kids look at some of these rappers and they see themselves.
Right. Like, or they kind of mold themselves.
Right, they see themselves in that and they kind of say, okay, well, you know, that's what my favorite rapper doing. That's why I like when people see, you know, when you see a rapper get married, get engaged, you're like, see? But you're listening to the rapper. Gucci, but your rapper's really, you know, getting, you know. But that brings it back. You know what's so crazy? That brings it back to, like, the Moonlight movie. The main character in that movie basically emulated, you know, to kind of shelter himself after being bullied and beat up when he became an adult. He just emulated this person that was in his life that he felt like, okay, that's what a man's supposed to be. Because he didn't have a man in his life. His mom was a crackhead. You know what I'm saying? And that's the reality of a lot of, you know, taking away from, you know, the gay aspect of the movie. You know, like, that's the reality of a lot of black kids. Not just black boys, black kids in general.
Yeah.
They don't have any, you know, they don't have any, nothing to look at. So, I feel like, you know, that's what a lot of people look at. But it's just so crazy that I think, the whole argument was so stupid that I was just like, both sides is dumb.
No way.
You know, like, but to...
Both sides have a point, and the argument, is stupid as it may sound, it's an argument that needs to be had because underneath all that is basically two different sides juxtaposed, and that needs to be heard so that you can kind of see some healing in it. And something better can come from it.
True.
It's like, it has, this argument I saw bubbling up for a while. As music shifts, you see older people and younger people coming to this clash once again. You know, this is an age thing.
But like, I do wish somebody open the lines of communication. But I wish somebody on both sides just say, let's sit down like and is, talk about it.
I feel like it is, because it's, we talking about it now.
And, but you know what I like, though? I like that, I do like the fact that 21 Savage decided that I'm not gonna take a jab. I'm gonna show you the argument. You know what I'm saying? This is your argument. Well, let me show you why this is how it is. So maybe you didn't look at the fact that you were making a drug dealer music that you were selling to my mama, and now I'm the son of that person that you sold this drug dealer music
to.
And I have you don't even know what I went through.
How do you think I would do? You think I want to be the person that was selling death to my mama?
Right.
Or you think I might sometimes like, fuck it, my mama did it, I did it. That's how I was taught to coach. So now I deal with it like this.
Exactly.
And now you shunning me for the exact thing you got.
So
that's
from. Right. So shout out to the hip hop community from the AYO show. Ayo. You know, we have opened up the little communications, you know, with us talking about our sides of it. So I want people to really instead of just having this like this godly complex that y'all feel like you're, what I want to stop is everybody feeling like their era was so greater than the one that's out now.
You're going
to
feel like that.
And I mean, there's things when I, like, you know, when I run through my old school set like and I'm in that bitch like, damn, I'm running through it, you know? Yeah, damn. I'm like, running through the track music.
In the,
like,
in the words of, in the words of Cole Young, and we're going to end it with this. Please. End it with this one. I was telling Cole, like, dog, I really wish I grew up in, like, '90s, like I was a teenager, like I'd really be like 17, 18, like 93, 94. He like, bro, you gotta think about it. That's cool, but you
I
was
like
in ninth grade when the hot boys was on.
Right, I
like
that.
You was body
we was
shirts.
Going back to school.
You had body
like,
shirts.
We was in class, like, man, y'all heard that? You know what I'm saying?
Body 504s, like you slid through, you saw Boosie, you saw all these things locally.
And I always,
and even on a
large
scale, so you can't discount.
Right.
In other words, you can't discount where you come from and see the beauty.
I loved it. I say it all the time.
You
I
can't shit
it.
On nobody else shit either.
I loved it.
And,
I never
the same
do.
Way you feel
I never
about
do because
Jones,
I look think about people who are looking at 21 Savage, all these different Atlanta rappers that's in Atlanta.
I don't like the shit. But
that's,
it is
that's
what it
I'm
is.
Saying, but think about the kids who are in Atlanta.
Yeah,
that's like
I can't
us.
Tell them like
they probably
shit.
Like, oh shit,
if I
he's
tell
doing
shit
it.
On my shit, they probably, what the fuck is this?
Let me tell you.
I don't like this shit.
I had young parents, shit. So they liked all the stuff. But you know,
go.
So
really
I probably not really want to say
narrative.
Much because I'm not. You can narrate.
Next
I'm,
time,
I'm, you go ahead because I don't really have much to say.
Look, we gonna go to this right
one
now.
On this one, so I ain't
shout out
to
shout out to like okay. First of all, oh man, two of my favorite rappers growing up have always had a problem with each other, and I always wondered why. So now, in the age of information, where we get to know why. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We finally have answers to questions. A lot of beefs we didn't even know happened. Like, Keep It Gunna, I didn't know Imaginary Players by Jay-Z was written about Mace.
Really, though?
I didn't know that.
I learned something new today.
No, I didn't know that Mace and Jay had friction. I didn't know Mace and Fat Joe had friction. Mace said he wanted to stab Fat Joe.
I
mean, niggas was getting stabbed a lot.
I mean, but see,
people with somebody.
This is a great time in hip hop. A lot of times we didn't know that this is unsaid stuff, especially if you didn't say your name. Everybody wasn't Tupac, you fat motherfucker. Like, they wasn't so durable. It was shot. So you had to be in the city, you had to be around the industry to know that this guy. This artist didn't like this artist.
Nah, that Imaginary Players, it was kind of like a Dame versus Puff thing, too, though. Like, you know.
And bro, I think
these
they said they're
know.
No minions.
Yeah.
I think you spoke with minions.
But Jay was on Mace album. So, like, a lot of shit, like. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of things that we. I think the way that we see beef and understand it now,
it's
back
different.
Then, was different. I don't think that a lot. I think a lot of things.
This is friction.
A lot of
this
what
is
I seen
friction.
Back then was.
Friction,
a lot
of
things
friction,
back then was more so riding for your camp. Like, I made. Even Snoop said that shit in the little shit with Dr.
But
like, nigga, we wasn't really trying to fuck with what the hell this nigga did at the wars, but that was the homie.
You know, we rolling,
so
but,
we
okay.
had to roll, you know.
But, okay, let's get back to it.
Let's
paint the picture. Cameron, Killer Cam.
Killer Cam.
Paint General, whatever you want to call it. Killer Cam, he dropped. Oh my God. First of all, if you don't respect Cameron, we do. Cite the Rap City Freestyle where this nigga raps over Scarface, My Block. But he's rapping F Mike to You Saw Me, You Never Saw Thriller. Like, whatever. Fist scale, Swordzilla, Royal Williams. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I caught him on. But.
My AKA was my ABCs.
That was A-OK.
Oh, my God.
But, all right. So, Cam dropped a new album, The Project, the Program, which y'all should probably listen to. If you really a fan of Cam, you're going to like it. If you really not a fan of Cam, I would say. Go do your Googles and listen to Purple Haze and come home with me in a mini Dipset Diplomatic Immunity just to get the taste of Cam of what his wordplay is. His wordplay was always strongest point. Now, it's Killer. The very first song on the program, he basically, in the first verse, he references Mace. A story about Mace saying, you know, he was stuck inside some bitch house, basically. And he called Cam to come get him out. Where I was at on Kingsbridge, oh, I got some homies in Bainsbridge. I come through and put that gun to that lame wig and got him out of the situation. And Mace handed me a hundo, $100. Mm-hmm. Cam like, man, hey, bro, get this nigga around me before I have to kill him. Basically, Cam just expresses distaste for Mace giving him $100, getting him out of a situation. He put his own life on the line for Mace. Mm-hmm. And this was a story that was told. Now, if you listen to other raps by Cameron, more so Cameron, Cameron's always gave mention of Mace, sometimes in distasteful fashion, sometimes in, you know, whatever. But he always somewhat tells the truth. We don't know the truth. We wasn't there. But Cam seems to be honest. His track record, he says he has no filter. So Cam just... Oh, wait, I can trust Cam to really just have no filter. And a lot of times, people with no filter, you gotta take it as truth, bro, because they don't have no fucking filter. Sometimes, not all the time. Grain of salt, but it is what it is. So Cam does that. And me as a fan, I didn't look for Mace's response. Many times Cam said Mace's name and response. Fuck that. Mace said, fuck all that. He dropped the order.
Lava.
That nigga dropped some lava. And mind you, we haven't heard Mace rap in a long time. Very long time. But Mace is still Mace. That's sharp. That sword is still sharp. And it was, God damn it.
That boy
said. The response was flames.
The boy said, you lost 50 pounds, had an ulcer in your liver. Now you want to turn around and sell niggas liquor? I'm like, come
oh
on,
my
man.
God. It was so many bars.
Like, so
fuck his own sister. Like, basically, Mace just dropped a lot of dirty laundry. We don't know to be true or not.
Come on, Pastor.
About Cam. Bethel. Then, you know, he dropped, and it was fire. Like, because you can't.
Right.
You can't just drop. You dropped a little bit of Mace as an afterthought. That was some shock value. Just a story, which Cam always does. He just drops stories. He tell you to get in Ohio. He really just telling you what he's done.
Right.
Painting the picture. He's right, not really a punchline. He just, if you listen to Cam's more story. He's just telling you. He paint the picture. Right. One of the best storytellers in rap ever. He just paints the picture. Oh, yeah, I can say that.
I mean, that's how you feel.
No argument about no Cam. That's your feel. Yeah, because I'm off of Cam. But, so, Mace dropped this fire, this lava, this flames, this fire emojis 10 times. We like, oh, shit. What Cam gonna do? People getting that Cam on ground like, hey, you heard Pastor Mace, you heard Pastor Bethel, he got at your ass. What you gonna do? Cam in true rapper fashion says, fuck it. And we got the technology to do it. Response tomorrow at 10:30.
Say, G. Like, I heard
it tomorrow at 10:30.
So I heard the track, man. My only wish was like...
It was not...
He recorded with a walkie-talkie, B.
Bro, I don't know what the
edge
this nigga recorded on the Mr. Microphone.
Nigga, that nigga recorded that bitch on he recorded
cassette.
On the game board.
Right,
though.
Right.
I think what happened, Cam
what happened
was so caught
media.
Up. Yeah, dog. He was
social
so caught up.
Happened.
And dog, it wasn't that the song was ass because it wasn't. It just wasn't in comparison to Mace's. Mace's had better rhymes.
I think,
in
like
delivery.
I said, the Mace thing. Cam didn't see it coming.
No.
Because like you just said.
Mace don't never respond. Mace has
we
like let so much go.
Let me tell you, as fans, as people who are part of New York hip hop fans, because I know I didn't see it coming because I was too busy like, Freddie versus Jason dropped. Dipset just dropped their new single sounded amazing because they over a hit maker beat as they should be. You know what I'm saying? So it was like all this greatness. If you was into like New York hip hop, it was like dancing your Timbs. Yeah. You know, but then Mace came back. It was like, Pastor. I was like, well, damn, Oak. Like, we went there, Oak. That's what we doing. You know, but I feel like, you know, as much as whatever you want to call it, dirty laundry that Cam may have and people may feel be more leaning to the Cam side, you can only keep poking at somebody for so long.
And Mace came
and
with the Kamehameha.
What I tell people, what I've always said from day one about the Cam and Mace thing, unlike a lot of,
they know each other.
They really know each other. Like, take your childhood friend.
And y'all beef.
Y'all get to a successful point, and then y'all start beefing. So you know that y'all your childhood friend knows things that can end you. But only one of the childhood friends keep jabbing. Right. You know what I'm saying? There were times where Cam didn't even have to do it, and he did it.
I was just like, what are you doing?
We fuck with Mace. For me,
right.
that was what kind of always left a salty taste in my mouth with Cam. Like, you know, and even when he was even beefing with his Dipset people, there were things that his Dipset people, and these ain't people who, you know, some of them didn't grow up with him, but his Dipset people have said some of the things about his character that Mace said in his fucking song. So for me to say that I'm going to be on camps, I'm like, well, here go another person saying how fucked up an individual of your character that you are. We're not talking about how good of a rapper you are. All these disses about Cam are always about his fucked upness as a person.
Let me tell you though. Nah, because I like, this is my thing about Cam, who I feel like Rico was the real Cam.
Right.
Cam is the actor, my nigga.
Right.
Hold on. This nigga, Cam is Rico in real life, G.
Right.
No, fuck that.
First of all.
No, you can take
it.
Cam the rapper. We're talking about Cameron Giles.
Cameron Giles.
You don't know the person.
I'm about to tell you about Cameron Giles, the person that makes Cameron the rapper. The things that we love Cam for.
Missing the game, the reasons
why people love Cam's persona the way it is because of his flaws that people really don't see as flaws until situations or people start or Jim really tell how he felt about how Cam handled him.
Yeah.
Like, these are character
flaws.
You had
this man crying.
Like, these are things that make Cam who Cam is, the reason why we love Cam.
Okay,
but,
so him
teasing him about the woman that nobody knew besides Jimmy was going to be his wife.
Mm.
Like, these are things that you got that friend that just
poke and poke, but they think the same.
It's a joke.
I'm glad you said that. I'm happy that it happened to Cam finally.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't keep fucking poking at nobody.
Curtis!
This is my thing. Especially when somebody who's like Mace, it's not like Mace out here putting out fucking mixtape after mixtape. He chilling. He waiting for Bad Boy to go back on another fucking tour. Do his Mace and puffiness.
You living off publishing checks that
he got publishing checks.
And he done took his money.
Let me say y'all. So
he chilling.
For those of you who didn't watch the Bad Boy, reunion documentary, right?
Ooh, shit.
Apparently, at some point between the whole Mace leaving to be a pastor and leaving Bad Boy to be a pastor thing, there apparently was some friction between him and Diddy because they're on camera saying, like, we've grown up. We're past that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that person anymore, blah, 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 blah. So, it's like with Cam, it's like, son, it's like at this point, if Drake came out with a Meek Mill diss, I don't want to hear that shit. But if Meek came out with a Drake diss and it really was as hot as Cam shit, as Mace shit, we want to hear that because we kind of tired of Jack,
I feel like the time expired.
Yeah, right.
Cam shit is old. Like, basically,
this is real.
Mace, this is real friendly. Cam is talking about you got punched by this person, slapped by this person. Then Mace is in the record talking about you got punched by this person, slapping this person. These are not rappers. These are not rappers that just met 5 years ago and had a falling out. These are niggas that's known each other since nine and ten years old.
Wait, it's gonna be really.
That's like, so
Ryan and Ziggy out of this little bunch, they're the besties, right? But y'all know, right? Like, I'm creating a thing. So that's like if Ronnie and Ziggy, heaven forbid, started beefing. They both got bars.
Oh, I'm going to bar you up, my nigga.
Okay, calm down. Fine.
First of all, I remember you ain't had no dreads. You had a
damn shape,
fucked up Mr. Potato Head.
Your wide little nose.
Hold on, your forehead got a wide nose.
But this is what we're witnessing. We're witnessing two actual friends We don't really
know each other.
The crazy part is nobody knows what really sparked it.
No, nobody. No, I feel like they do. No.
No, I'm saying as a public, they don't. No, them two know what the real reason is.
They've actually talked about it before. Cameron, if you, it's many times Mace, Cameron, and talked about it. You have to catch a lot. You have to catch because Mace don't do a lot of interviews. But if you catch it, you can kind of catch the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
It stems back from basically Mace being put on, Mace being put on, being a rapper, this, that, and the fourth. From Cameron's side, he feel like Mace didn't take care of him and his people the way he should have.
The way he didn't take care of
because, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the fact that, you know, Mace is 21, 22, selling 3 million records and being a millionaire, coming from the hood, this, that, and the fourth. So managing money is different. So then you have Cameron saying, you know, we have writing shit like that for your album. You give me $10,000, you got $1 million and shit like that. You only giving me $10,000 and I'm helping you create your shit.
Yeah.
You feel the way. But you got to look at it from the opposite side. You know, Mace have a different standpoint. It's all about perspective. It's about where you stand facing each other, what you going to see. Yeah. So it's really something that could have been solved.
I'm right now in my own camp, so I know.
It could have been solved with communication. Basically, this whole friction that existed, and to be honest, wrap it up, Cam, they just posted, oh, we still brothers if you want to be brothers. And Cam said it's coolest than the fourth, joking and shit like that. So to be honest, it looked like friction, they just did it just for the fun of the sport. It was never sparring. It was just something sparring.
I mean, I think that personally, when you're childhood friends, not a college friend,
be mad.
Or a friend you met.
You can't work forever.
When you're a childhood friend, you go through these moments and people do things and they piss you off and all these things happen. That's why I said we could sit here in interviews and take away from what it is and we could say it was this, we could say it was that. But I always say with these type of beefs, only the two people who are beefing really know what it is. Truthfully, in any real beef, only the two people who are beefing really, truly know. Nah, bitch, that was the last straw. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like in all friendships, you know, a friendship is I always say it's like a relationship without the sex and the fucking way. You know what I'm saying? Like, not two men, but you know. Anyway,
pause.
Had to pause that real stuff. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there are going to be things that as a friend somebody does and you like, get on my fucking nerves. You know, and you maybe don't talk to your friend for a couple of days or whatever. Yeah. But most friendships are not rappers. So think about if everybody was a rapper and they beefing with their friend. We'll all be like, man, fuck you today. Because you're getting, you know what I'm saying? And then maybe I'm like, nah.
See, okay, you still got fade with dreads. You got to brush them shit.
Why?
I'm about to head straight to the booth after this. So
my God, he got shit twisted.
Shout out. I'm going to have to drop it on my
looking like
he's on my show.
He playing like he
lit. Drop the bombs. I'm going to drop it. You come on the show, I'm going to drop the bombs.
Get flex on the line.
I'm going to get flex online so we can drop the
green
bombs
hoodie.
Online.
Looking like a booger duty.
See, look. Ronnie got a fifth. You got a fifth nigga. He ain't saying nothing. He's sitting up here quiet.
I'm the cam of the situation.
Okay, be cam.
All right. I didn't say be cam.
I'm off the cuff with it. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Your opinions is fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like a
Calm down. Anyway, so to recap the show, you know, basically,
this is one of those
seriously fun shows. It was a serious, you know, a lot. Here at the A-Life show, we like to have fun. But, I mean, A-Life, no, A-Yo. A-Yo show. We like to have fun. But I think that, you know, there's times, as far as the climate of things that's going right now, it is a lot of serious things going on. A Saints loss. Jesus.
Man, we still going to
no gang
shit,
gang picture this week. No gang it's gang. Cool, no it's gang
cool,
gang.
It's cool. I'm boycotting anyway.
To be honest, I have been boycotting my best friend, so I have not watched a game. I watch it on Twitter. I watch all games on Twitter. Because people keep me updated tweet by tweet. So I don't really, no, I've not watched a game either. But, A lot of serious things have been going on. So we definitely needed to shed light on it. You know, I want people to have more conversations and hold these fucking creeps accountable. You know what I'm saying? Have these
Call
conversations.
Them all out, bro.
You know, mothers, give your daughters the strength to know that they don't have to keep quiet, you know, for some role of a lifetime, a job of a lifetime. Because that thing with Harvey Weinstein doesn't just only happen, you know, it doesn't only just happen with the acting world or the entertainment world. You know what I'm saying? I think that it happens in all, you know, it happens in regular jobs, all kinds of stuff. People go through this stuff in all kinds of jobs. You know, I'm always in an office situation, a job situation where I got to discern from, was that just a joke or should I feel okay? You know, like, is he trying to holler? Like, you know, so I think, you know, just always, and then, you know, I, like, you know.
Hey, Ziggy just tweeted me, yo, this track covered the 12 years. I'll let y'all know.
Oh, Lord, like, Jesus, no, bro, violate Twitter. Bro. But, you know, I do feel like, you know, we need to have these conversations because... Like Ronnie said, the light has been shined.
First
so
of all, I'm gonna diss him
like
on
more...
comments. I'm gonna diss him on comments. The light beat, turn that happy dream
no,
to
that's
a
not
nightmare.
Even, that's not the
I don't even fight.
Oh
dude.
God, stop!
Talking about that
stop!
World
We're
when
trying to
said
recap.
Right
We're trying to recap. We're trying to recap.
Recap.
So you know,
tight pants.
I do feel like this one here. I feel like more men are gonna come through the door and say things that happen to them. You know, because it's always a female thing, and I think that. Like with Terry Crews, you find out, no, men, that's all they do. You know, these people crazy. They don't care. And as far as Donald Trump, fuck Donald Trump. Like,
man, fuck. Man. Twitter fingers ass motherfucker. See? But nah, let's not forget about this nigga. Yo,
yeah.
You been cool.
I mean,
he asked me, you been through.
Oh my God.
You know what I've been through.
Oh God. Okay, let me get to the end of this. All Can right. I get something to this with y'all without y'all with these bars? Okay.
All
right. And of course, you know. Nobody's right in the drug dealer music versus drug user music. Y'all both are fucking wrong. But come together to make these kids better.
He
ain't
got a room with a bath. His head's so big he wear a 9.5 size fitted. It ain't even fitted.
Oh.
Are you kidding?
And they're rapping because they think they Cam and Mace.
Hold on.
And thank you, Mace, for finally smacking Cam upside the head.
I got the answers on, but you ain't the answer, home.
Oh God!
Yo, you off the top, man. You need to find a new balance.
Okay, I'm gonna let you go now. All right, I'm a non-rapper.
Oh Lord,
bye, y'all.
On. Just like she got a hole in the pants, it's a hole in your.
Wait, oh what? My God! Oh God! It's over. Hey, yo, so bye, y'all.
This is the AO Show. It's the AO, AO show. It's the AO show, it's the AO show. This is just my AO flow. It's the AO show, it's the AO show. And this is just my AO flow.